May God grant us all thankful, truly grateful hearts for his mercy's sake as a gift. Amen. We meditate this evening on a note from a sermon of Moses in the collection of his last sermons to the Israelites on the other side of the Jordan River. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 30. We read verses 9 through 14. Then the Lord God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, our dearest friend and Savior, dear thankful Christians, is it okay to say it in public? Thanksgiving is not the most popular holiday. And I'm not thinking about the turkey on the table. Sometimes it's maybe because you feel as if you have a few turkeys sitting around the table. And sometimes your memories of Thanksgiving are not all of what you'd like them to be. I think back to one of my most unpleasant Thanksgiving. It was actually, I think, the last one I spent at home. Last year of my teen years as a young man. Mom's meal was great. It was fine to have the family and the relatives all around. It wasn't even the fact that my aunt kept asking me, "What's wrong, Mark?" You know how people sometimes just keep asking you, "What's wrong?" I didn't know. It wasn't until years later that it finally dawned on me that on that particular time, I was wishing that I had my own family. I was at that point in my life where I wanted to be married. I had not met the love of my life and the mother of my children yet. Grandchildren were a long, long way away. Those days finally come, and you realize that those little ones that you wanted grow up. And soon, it's bittersweet because they're not there at the table anymore and they won't get home for Thanksgiving. It's part of the passage of life and part of the reason why maybe for many Americans Thanksgiving is little more than some strange days of overeating football tucked in somewhere between scary jack-o'-lanterns and a lump of coal. That's about it. But it wasn't the way it was for the Israelites as the Lord spoke to them through Moses, anticipating Thanksgiving in days ahead. And strangely, even with them scattered all over the ancient world, the Lord was giving them something to always be thankful about. It's as simple as this. The word is very near you. The word of God is very near you to prosper. Maybe part of the problem is that we as Americans are out there in outer space with Bette Midler. You know her song? It really describes the way people think about God when you stop and think about it. I think it's on her album called Taste the Divine or Experience the Divine. From a distance. I won't sing it for you. From a distance. From a distance is the way people look at God as totally detached and uninvolved in our life, unable to know what's going on, not really caring, and not really involved at all. From a distance, far, far away. And how could you help but look at God like that if you actually were convinced that you evolved from slime? It's just a whole different way of looking at things than the way we were taught, the way the Lord taught his Israelites, his people that were about to prosper in a land where God was giving them everything, cities they didn't build, fields they didn't plant, vineyards that were just all there and ready to harvest. Blessings from God, and Moses was nervous. Moses was concerned that when the Israelites got into the promised land, the fertility cults of Baal and Asherah were going to be too attractive for the Israelites. Public orgies meant to turn on the gods and make everything fertile. Moses is nervous for good reason. The Israelites had shown all through their time in the desert that they were as rebellious against God as ever. No matter what he did or what he said, they kept on rebelling. And Moses said, if you did this while I was alive, it's pretty obvious what will happen when I'm gone. So he's warning them about what will happen when they're scattered throughout the ancient world. But I love the way God goes there and takes them there in that future time and looks back, and even from there calls them to repentance. The Lord tells them what they can expect when they finally wake up and realize what they're missing, when their sins have come between them and God, when there's a distance there that God wants to remove. When the Lord wants to draw them close to himself, he will remind them and make them think back on Jerusalem, those Thanksgiving feasts that were part of Moses' law, when they had to go up to the city, to the temple, to worship and praise the Lord. When you wake up, when you finally turn back to the Lord in humble repentance, sorry for your sins, and trusting in God's forgiveness. This is what you can expect. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous. What that literally means is an overflow, a superabundance. God will make you have way more than enough. God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands, and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. That pretty much covered everything that the Baals offered. The land, the plants, the animals, the womb, the work of your hands, all covered by the Lord who would prosper his people in repentance, even far, far away. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God just wants you back. God realizes that we have to be taught to say thank you. It's not a natural inclination of any sinful heart. We take God's gifts for granted day by day and hour by hour, and he needs us to stop every once in a while and think about the blessings that we've been given, and to just worship him and just say thank you. Just acknowledge him as the giver of all these gifts far beyond what we can ask or imagine or ever realize. There's no distance because God came down to us. He gave us a Savior in his own Son, Jesus Christ, also to wash away our thanklessness from our hearts, to give us new hearts that don't have to be told, that don't have to be commanded, but hearts that overflow with thankfulness and praise to the God who's that good, that gracious, and that kind in Jesus our Savior. There is no distance when we know the Lord who comes very near in his word, very near to you to prosper you, very near with his word to proclaim. The Lord says through Moses, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. That'd be like saying you don't have to go into outer space or deep into the sea to find this, to find your own, some different way back to God. It's not beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. it would be good to know what God is commanding when he says this is not too difficult for you. It is a little misleading in our English translations because we do so poorly on a couple of simple concepts. We keep on translating them, especially in the New International Version, as obey, 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 and it really means to guard and treasure. That's the case with the words that are here in verse 10 that we read before. If you literally listen to the Lord your God, in other words, hear his word, and then guard his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, the book of Moses with both law and gospel in it, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. It's the Lord's word that calls us back and makes our hearts new. And when you know what that means, that God is that merciful and gracious, you want to guard what he gives you as your greatest treasure. It's not a matter of slavish obedience. In fact, we can't obey God's law as he commands in the thou shalt and the thou shalt not, because it demands perfection. The first time you fail, you've broken all of God's law. But what we can do, what is not too difficult for you, is to listen and to treasure that word. And the reason is really simple. The more you listen to the word and the more you treasure it, the more it makes you want to listen and treasure. It keeps reminding you of your sin and your need for a Savior. It keeps telling you you have a Savior in Jesus Christ. It's God's way through his word that draws us closer to himself, the word that prospers us, the word that makes us want to tell what we've heard, to proclaim that good news far and wide, not just in our words, but in our deeds as well. Most of the time, we forget about what the Lord has allowed us to do, and today we get an opportunity to get a glimpse into the blessings that God has worked through Wells Kingdom Workers and our blessings on the congregation and through the congregation in New Orleans, the Crown of Life. One of the things that struck me this past week was how we are so blessed in our country even to have this kind of response, which just doesn't happen so much in other places. Last summer in August, we were so wrapped up in the news about the I-35 bridge collapse that maybe you missed too that extremely destructive earthquake in Peru. I sent it out to the New Life email group this week. Maybe you read that. Sad, sad stories. Just a week or so after our bridge collapsed, an 8.2 on the Richter scale. That's what the scientists said. The president of Peru declared it to be a 7.9 on the Richter scale. Because legally, if it was over 8 on the Richter scale, he would have to okay the rebuilding of all the houses for the poor people. He declared it a 7.9 and then told everybody they could borrow money from the government. Unfortunately, in order to borrow money, you have to stand in line. You finally get up to the line that's barely moving and then find out you have to have a valid ID. But maybe that lapsed, no reminders like we have. We have to have valid driver's license. They don't, till they have to get a loan. So where are they living in the meantime while they're waiting for the government to step up? Houses totally destroyed. Find a piece of plastic, stretch it out as best you can between your neighbor's plastic, put some cardboard on the dusty old street, and then at night guard each other's few possessions because there are marauding youth. No police support. No soldiers, National Guard there to keep from looting. We don't realize the blessings we have even in the midst of disasters. The response is so paltry there. And so overflowing and generous, where we still have vestiges, at least in our country, of the worship of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for all. I see this as the Sunday school stories of so many Americans that they're avoiding and ignoring now. But at least they heard them at one time. And you can only hope and pray that the Lord will turn us around as a country and help us see again the blessings that we have so much to thank the Lord for, especially that the word is very near you. This Thanksgiving, there will be many Americans far away that can't get home. Some that do will struggle with those reunions and the catastrophic emotional trouble of coming out of combat and back to peaceful loved ones that maybe aren't always so peaceful, and your heart not peaceful either. Two of our young brothers were over in Iraq in a guard tower and didn't even know they were brothers. They got to comparing notes, as soldiers sometimes do, and far, far across the sea, in combat zone, they found out they both attended Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota. One wasn't even from Minnesota. They were a few years apart. Comparing notes, they realized that they were both brothers in the faith. They had both avoided the other Protestant services where they weren't hearing the Word of God, found out that one of the students from Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, our sister synod, the ELS, a student was also over there as a soldier and having Bible classes. They went to his. The Word is very near you to prosper you, even when there's nothing else left, to prosper you and a word to proclaim. There were many people who did not die in Peru in the earthquake because of their faith, and many who did die because of their errant faith. There were Roman Catholics worshiping in a church that collapsed. The neighbors all rushed in, not to rescue the screaming victims. They ran right past them. They were trying to get out the statue of the Blessed Virgin. And for that reason, some of the worshipers died under the rubble. There were other Christians in a plastic church someplace, just very poor evangelicals, the way the story goes, who felt the earthquaking and rushed out into the street, convinced it was the second coming of Christ. In one of the churches down there where our ELS missionary serves, the believers on the block all ran out into the street because they were so excited. Jesus was coming back. The sky was all lit up. The earth was shaking. Granted, they were a bit disappointed when they found out that they were still living in the rubble, but they were alive because of the joy in their hearts over a Savior that they're looking forward to seeing again because their sins are all forgiven. The Word is very near you, practically, life-giving, here on earth and forever in heaven. For that we thank the Lord and praise Him now and forever for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise.